best ways to demonstrate that you love him is to show up to his house. Amen. It really does demonstrate how much you care. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to have you turn to Romans, the 13th chapter. Every time I stand behind this desk, I feel it necessary to somehow impart information that will help us in our walk with God. It's not a place to tickle ears. It's not a place to entertain, but it's a place to get information that will help us make it all the way. Because there's not one person in here that's saved. Amen. We're in the process. Amen. There's not one person in here that's married to the Lord. We've been betrothed. Right. But there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There'll be a wedding one day. So we have to make it all the way to the end. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And so there's a little bit of enduring going on. If you were involved in AA, you'd have probably 3 meetings a week just to declare, I'm going to overcome this problem. And we have a problem. It's out there. It's the world that keeps weighing and pushing on us over and over again. So we need strength. And we need enough people around us that say, you know, you're going to make it, you know. I'm standing with you. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." When I sat on the district board and we reviewed potential licensed ministers, we would always ask them what they felt about Romans, the 13th chapter, because if you can't submit to authority, you'll never get authority. So we might as well stop the process right here, you see. And that's true for each and every one of us. Now, would you turn to Matthew 28? And verse 16, last words of Jesus. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." More people lose out with God because they get tripped up with this principle of submission to authority. We're living in a country that is so independent. We have freedom to do whatever we want, in some cases, even against the law, because the law isn't going to do anything about what you're doing. I had a man Saturday tell me that a colleague of his, a senior vice president of a large bank, who's making over $300,000 a year, decided that he was going to grow 8 marijuana plants in his backyard. And I don't know how they found out, but they found out. And so not only did he get arrested, but he lost his job. He'll most likely lose most of what he has today, all because he didn't feel like, well, there shouldn't be any consequences for this. God loves us so much that he has given us parameters, folks, not to prevent us from having joy and peace, but to prevent us from getting into trouble, you know. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. Would you bless your word? Open our hearts and our minds to the word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that the screen's down, could you put it up? Could you put it down again? And I'd like to use it for scriptures. You may be seated. Unless you want to stand, that's not a problem. And don't make me come down there and tell the preacher that he's doing good. We just read what is known as the Great Commission, the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. It's on a mountain. And last words are very important. Jesus took them to a mountaintop where they worshiped him, but there were some people, even in the middle of the worship, that had some doubt about what's going on here. Then he established that all power or authority was given unto him, both in heaven and earth. And then he said, therefore, or because of my authority, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we can't direct people to God if we don't have the authority or knowledge that Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. We don't need to go any further. Amen. We don't need to go to anyone else. People first had to be taught where the power is, where the authority is. And we've talked about this over the years, that the authority, the credentials are in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do, we should do all in the name of Jesus. And then they will have no problem being baptized in that authority. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The authority is the name of Jesus. And now the last part of this great commission was the most involved, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, number one was Jesus has all of the power in heaven and earth. Number two, being baptized into that power in his name. And then three is teaching people to observe all things that he has commanded. So that power is now transferred to us through baptism in Jesus' name for the purpose of transforming the power to someone. I saw a church sign the other day that says, repent, be baptized, and repeat. You know, and that's what we're doing. We have the power, and now we want to give that power to someone else. What I want to establish is, where is the power and authority of God assigned? In other words, how do we receive the power and authority of God? This is a principle that can change your life and at the same time protect your salvation. I believe that this is one of the most important principles in God's word. And had I not submitted to this principle, I would never be where I am today. Now, nowhere before Matthew 28 and 18 did Jesus ever claim all power in heaven and in earth. The power was given when Jesus demonstrated his obedience to the cross. And that is where the power is given to us in obedience. When we are obedient to his word, then God instills us with a authority and a power. The authority was given to Jesus when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, like Philippians 2, 7 through 11 says. So even though he had power while he was on this earth, all power was not distributed or given to Jesus until he humbled himself and was obedient. Turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse number 5, it says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." So according to the scripture, even though Jesus was God in the flesh, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The flesh of God had to get to the place where he submitted to the very word that he ordained, the very word that he inspired. And so the flesh had to be obedient unto that word, and he became salvation unto them that obey the word also. This is such an important principle in God's word. Jesus becoming the high priest, yet under the authority of Melchizedek, who was the high priest. So even though he was God in the flesh, he also had to submit himself to an authority over him, or he would never have received the power. Melchizedek means king of righteousness, also king of Salem or Jerusalem. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham as he returned from rescuing Lot. So here's the high priest, Melchizedek. He blesses Abraham. Well, who blesses? You see? Melchizedek didn't seem to have an origin of being. He just kind of appeared, you see. He had a sudden appearance, and later, suddenly, he disappears. Well, only God can bless. Only God can appear and disappear. Only God can be the king of righteousness. So what we see in that the flesh of God submitted to the order of Melchizedek, or in obedience to a higher power, a high priest, and authority of that priesthood. Now all flesh must submit to God and his word, or forfeit any authority in the spirit. So when we get to the place where, okay, I agree with most of this stuff, or Pastor, I really agree with, boy, I'd say 80% of what you're saying, all of a sudden God's saying, sorry, the authority isn't there. Take a look at Matthew 8. Verse number 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So notice here that the centurion has a need of a miracle. Why did Jesus put this portion of scripture in the Bible? It's pretty typical of all of us. We have needs of something miraculous, something that we can't do on our own. He needs the power and the authority of that supernatural. And does it come because I pray more, I read more, I praise more? Not according to this scripture. He makes his request to God and then identifies himself not as a man with authority, but a man that is under authority. He says, listen, I can tell people what to do and where to go and what they should do and what they shouldn't do. The centurion, who is not a Jew, so he really doesn't have a right to come and ask for these things. I understand how this miracle is going to take place because I'm under authority and I have men under my authority, and I can just speak to them and they'll go and they will do what I request, and I don't have to go anywhere or get anything in order for them to obey. And if it works this way in my army, Jesus, I believe it works that way in your army too. This sickness is in your dimension, under you. So Jesus, you just speak to it. You tell it. You got to go. Being under authority gives us jurisdiction over things of God's dimension and not just in the flesh, you see. Oh, I'm telling you, this is so important. It's so valuable. God delegates power to us, not because of our ability, knowledge, or position, but he gives us power and authority because we are people under authority, and we have no power if we aren't under that authority. Satan was given power and authority as no other angel that was created. Turn to Ezekiel 28, please. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy reps, tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So God created this angel that was better looking, better equipped than any other angel. It was Satan himself. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary by the multitudes of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So here we have probably the most incredible creation that God has made in heaven. This one who is covered in jewels, if you will, the covering cherub, has authority like none other. The anointed cherub that covereth every precious stone was thy covering, perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Hallelujah. So how did he lose this position of authority that he had over all of the angels in heaven? Let's go to Isaiah 14th chapter. Verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So how did he lose his authority? By not submitting to the authority of God. I'm independent now. Look how beautiful, look how spiritual I am. You know, the Bible says in the curse in Genesis, the third chapter, it says that that God put enmity between Satan and the woman. Why not mankind? Because when Satan lost his authority, this ministry of covering, it was given to the woman. If you went to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, it's been a while since I taught on hair, you find that it lists the authority, God, Christ, man, woman, and that the woman would have power on her head because of the angels. I was thinking today, I wonder if the ladies in this church who have that proper covering on there, it's like the mercy seat in the holiest of holies. It is powerful. I wonder if you're covered in jewels just like Lucifer used to be. Hallelujah. This isn't just something that we can... Well, that's take that under consideration. Because Satan lost his power and authority through his rebellion, he now promotes attacking leadership and authority in the church. It is what happens, is what he wants to do. Because if you can do that, then you lose authority and power in the church. Knowing this will cause people to lose their power and authority with God. Someone not under authority can never have authority in God's realm. Throughout the Bible, there is always an order of authority. When violated, there is always some kind of consequences. And when Eve violated God's order and didn't stay under the authority of her husband, if she would have simply said to the serpent, "Excuse me, I need to talk to my husband about that," she probably wouldn't have been so susceptible to eating of the forbidden fruit. Sin came bursting into the world, and then all of a sudden the flesh took over. God always sets the ministry under authority. There is a baptism of fire, I believe, for anyone who is established in the ministry. There's going to have to be some things that prove that you will be obedient regardless of your situation. Brother Arcovia once said, you really don't know if you're in submission to authority until your authority asks you to do something that you don't agree with. Barnabas was submitted to Paul. Timothy was submitted to Paul. Elijah to Elijah. Aaron to Moses. Jesus to Melchizedek. You see, before the power, before the miraculous, somebody had to submit to somebody. God has also called us to be priests after the order of Melchizedek. Turn to Numbers, the 12th chapter. Numbers 12, verse number 1. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake unto Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Now, that might not make a whole lot of sense to anybody, but here's someone that Moses married that wasn't a part of Israel. Miriam and Aaron were upset with it, and what they didn't realize that it was a shadow and type of Jesus taking a bride outside of Israel. That's us. We were the Ethiopians. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. And now the man Moses was very meek above all of the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Miriam and Aaron are the brother and sister of Moses, if you didn't know that. So, you know, family. Sometimes, you know, I can take direction from anybody else, but I'm not taking direction from family. And the Lord spake suddenly, verse number 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall be held, behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. So we find if the man of God didn't stand in the gap, you see, it may have seemed innocent enough, but I don't see any place in the Bible where God is more angry than right here. What were the results of not being under authority? The cloud departed from the tabernacle or the church. Oh, we need the cloud of God upon the church, folks. Miriam was struck with leprosy. She was cut off from the congregation. And it was days before she could re-enter into the camp again. And you know what happens when people fall out of authority? I don't want to go to church anymore. Listen, God and his delegated authority cannot be separated. You can't maintain one attitude towards God and have another attitude towards God's delegated authority. Well, bless God, he talks to me also, Pastor. Be careful. That's what Aaron said. Yes, but I have God's delegated authority to watch over my soul. And that authority will not be overruled by wants and desires. You cannot reject God's authority on one hand and then receive God's authority on the other. I remember years ago, Brother Putnam called me. I was on the district board, and he was getting a consensus of the district board, and there was a man that was scheduled to preach our family camp, and he said, I feel like we can't have him. And I said, well, why? Because he has talked against the authority of our organization, especially our general superintendent. And so it would be like bringing in a Trojan horse, dismantling the authority in our district. And I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly. How can someone who is not under authority speak with the authority of God? If I ever get to the place where I feel that there are some things in here that are no longer necessary, then I will no longer have the authority of God nor the unction of God, you see. Don't entertain people who will run down the leadership. It'll nullify any of God's authority in your life. In Numbers 16 and 3, Korah rebels against Moses and Aaron, saying, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all of the congregation are holy. Ye lift up yourselves above the congregation." And within days, 14,700 people were killed by God because they chose the wrong side. In verse 40, it says, "Let this be a memorial that they not be like Korah." See? You see, people don't delegate positions in God's kingdom. Only God can delegate that authority. I've not been self-appointed to pastor this church. And when people self-appoint to positions in God's kingdom, a lot of innocent lives get affected because all of a sudden they're not under the leadership or authority there should be, and they're not protected like they should be. Can God give a given authority fail? Yes, no question. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If the man of God is under authority to leadership and to the word of God, then the leadership is the protection of the body of Christ, and we must stay under that protection. In 1987, I felt the call of God on my life. I felt like God was calling me to pastor. And I felt like God wanted me to pastor on the south side of Milwaukee in the Bayview area. I looked at a church. I looked at a house. I was just about to put my house up for sale, and my wife and I were willing to move into that area in order to start what I felt was the will of God. And I went to my pastor, and he said, "Absolutely not. That's not what you're supposed to do." And I'll tell you, for a New York minute, I thought, I know God has spoken to me, you see, but had I rebelled against the authority that was over me, so you know what I did? Nothing. I kept doing what I was doing, teaching Bible studies, being faithful to the house of God. And I thought, God, you are in charge. If I'm supposed to do and go and be, then you can tell my pastor what I need to do. So I sat there. And I sat there about a year, and somebody called me from this little church in Sturtevant and said, could you come on a Wednesday night and preach? And I said, sure, I'll have to ask my pastor. He said, go, be a blessing to them, you know? And in that service, on a Wednesday night, a little Sam Dixon, he's about this high, drew a picture of me preaching from the pulpit. It was like one of those pictures that Brother Portman had over here. Except one thing, 2 days before that I was playing racquetball and somebody hit me in the head and I had a black eye. So the first time I preached at the Apostolic Faith Church, I had a black eye, you know. And then a few weeks later, I got a call, and if I'm boring any of you that have known this story, I'm sorry. A few weeks later, I got another call and said, could you come and kind of hold the church together until we find a good pastor? And I said, sure, because I know that God's called me to the south side of Milwaukee. And so preacher after preacher, they come and nobody could agree that they were. They came from all over the United States. I mean, there were 26 voters, folks. And so finally, on a Sunday night, I was at my home church on a Sunday night after service, and apparently they had an election. And those people elected my wife and I to pastor this church. I didn't even know that they were thinking about it. They were looking for a younger guy, and they were looking for somebody from out of state with more credentials. And so I had left the church on that Sunday night, and here comes Brother and Sister Dixon, and I think it was the Chapels, and they came to the church. We are already gone, and they said, hey, where's our pastor? And my pastor said, what? Yeah, we just elected him as pastor. And you know what he said? Well, bless that church. Now you're going to grow. And I did it my way. Bless God. God talks to me too. Where would I be? Maybe where would some of you be? You see? Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We all know of men who have erred and not followed God's order of authority. Some are recorded in the word, such as King Saul. People need to have the proper attitude towards the anointed of God. King Saul was intimidated by David's anointing, and so he hunted him down thinking, well, he's going to take my place. So how did David, anointed to be the next king, how did he react? Let's take a look at 1 Samuel, the 26th chapter. First Samuel 26, starting verse number 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him, and then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time. I'll take care of him, just one shot, you know. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So here is an opportunity to somebody who is in authority but has been chasing him and trying to kill him. And his right-hand man, the assistant pastor, he says, hey, I'll take care of him. Don't you worry. But you see, what he did do is he took the water, the spear, and his crown. He took his refreshing. He took his authority. He took his defense away from him. I don't want to confuse my authority with God's authority, because basically I don't have any authority. You know, I can't stand up here and say, you better listen to me, right? See, it's not about declaring your authority. It has to be given to you by God. To deal with those who have left the authority of God's word, tonight we looked at a principle that will never, ever change. Regardless of circumstances in your life, you may think, hey, I'm a special case, I can't do this. Everyone must have authority over them, and depending on how we submit to that authority, that will determine how much authority that we will receive. Had I not submitted to that authority, I would never be standing here tonight. Now, almost every service, I, at the last minute, pick somebody within the congregation to open the service, and it's pretty routine. Sing a song, expound on some scripture, say something, and then pray, and we go into the song service. And one Sunday night, and I was used a lot in that capacity by my pastor over the years. But one Sunday night, my pastor was delayed in a meeting. And the music started, the organist was playing, and all of a sudden the service started to erupt, and the pulpit was vacant. And so nobody asked me, but I walked up to the pulpit and I took charge of the service. And we prayed for the service. And by the time the song service started, I turned around and my pastor was on the platform. And I turned and I walked over to my pastor and I simply said, no one was here and I took charge of the service. I hope that was all right with you. Not just assuming that I could take that position. And he said, no, I am so glad that you did that. I was delayed in the meeting. And I started walking down, and the power of God, I can never remember The power of God coming over me so strong, and I just made it to the corner and fell on my knees because God was saying, yes, that's what I want. To submit to authority, and you're right in the vein of me giving you authority because you're willing to do that. Right. It doesn't work any other way, folks. It's not that I'm some kind of, you know, lord over people. But I know what will bring the blessing of God on us and keep the protection of God on us. Get out from under that, and you're going to deal with things all by yourself. Because God is a God of order. God, Jesus. Well, what are you talking about? They're the same. No, there's the Spirit of God, and the flesh had to submit to the Spirit, and then there's the head of the house, and then there's the wife, and then there's the children. And the same is true. There's an order in a congregation. Those who are over ministries, same thing works, folks. I'm glad that we're under authority. Is our organization perfect? Far from it. There are things perhaps that I would change, but you know what? I'm so glad that I have somebody that I'm accountable to. Yes, I'm accountable to, because that's safety to me, you see. Glory to God. I love this church. I love every individual in here. And if there is anything that I want more than anything else, is that we all make it together to heaven. That's it. No hidden agendas. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? What would Lucifer be had he not gotten out from under authority? You know what? Too much success can kill you. Too much spotlight could drive you out of the church. See? And I'll tell you what. God has kept me with the right perspective. Every time I walk behind his desk, I'm thinking, why am I even here? I've had evangelists come and missionaries say, hey, you know what? Do you know, brother, do you know, and boy, you know, they should know who you are. I don't care if anybody knows who I am. And I'm not even concerned about knowing those who are in great positions of authority, because I know someone who's in the highest position of authority. He knows my name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Love you. The altar's open.